And of course, this course on the Book of Zechariah is being prepared for Andersonville Baptist Seminary. And we're going to pick up with lesson number 6, and we're in Zechariah chapter number 4. And under lesson number 6, we began last time under point number 3, the promises of the vision, in verses 6 through 10 of Zechariah chapter 4. And we want to pick up with the third promise of the vision, and that would be, as you look on your course outline, the temple shall be successfully and joyfully completed. And we see this in Zechariah chapter 4 in verses 7 through 9. Let's turn there to Zechariah chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. So we see then, as we continue here in lesson number 6, the temple shall be successfully and joyfully completed. The headstone is the finishing or gable stone which marked the completion of the building. And we see in some references to this and first of all in the book of Psalms, Psalm 118 in verse number 22, Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Again, let's look at that verse. The stone which the builders refused. That's a reference, a prophetic reference in Psalm 118, verse 22, to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is become the headstone of the corner, which is a prophetic reference to the second coming, or the second advent of Christ. In Luke chapter 20, the Gospel of Luke, if you turn there with me, the Gospel of Luke chapter 20, the Bible tells us in verses 17 and 18, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected. Again, he's quoting from Psalms 118, the Lord. The same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And that's very true. Amen. We're to fall on Christ. Amen. We're to humble ourselves before him. We're to be broken by Christ. Amen. We're to allow him to humble us and to come to him. But if we don't, those that do not come to him, on whomsoever it shall fall, talking about the stone, it will grind him to powder. And that's so very true. And especially, we see a prophetic reference to the tribulation here. Amen. there's going to be a great outpouring of God. We see then that Christ is the first and the last. Let's turn first of all to Isaiah. God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Chapter 41. We know the book of Revelation, Jesus says he's the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. Of course, we know that Jehovah God, the Lord here in the Old Testament, is the Lord Jesus Christ. They're one. Amen. We also see in Isaiah chapter 44, in verse number 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And then we see finally in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. So we see then the temple will be successfully and joyfully completed is a promise that we see, one of the promises that we see here in the vision in Zechariah chapter 4 and verses 6 through 10. Now the last promise we see is that God's wisdom and care will be magnified. Look at again in Zechariah chapter 4 with me in verse number 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Before I comment on the verse, I just want to say, who hath despised the day of small things? Amen. And what's interesting, we know the scriptures tell us that that's what God uses to accomplish his work, is the small things, is it not? And we have a great many examples. We think of David when he slew Goliath and all he had. He was small in stature, was he not? And all he took with him was his faithful slingshot and five smooth stones. And it only took one stone to fell the great giant. Amen. We also think of that young lad with the few loaves and few fishes that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to feed a multitude with, because that young lad was willing to give up all that he had for the Lord. Amen. The small things. Who hath despised the day of the small things? The world, this present evil world, which is ruled by the god of this world, Satan, amen, may mock and laugh at the Christian, amen. But remember, you can be used mightily of God. Not by your power or might, Lord, my dear friend, are we going to accomplish the things of the Lord. Only through the power of God's Spirit can it be accomplished. God's wisdom and care will be magnified, as we see, is one of the promises of the vision and here in Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10. The plummet in Zerubbabel's hand was a symbol of his being busy in the superintending construction of the temple. The seven eyes are really the subject of the verse and refer back to Zechariah 3, verse 9, which says, For behold the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. The eyes of the Lord would not need to run to and fro through the whole earth to protect Zerubbabel's temple, but they will do so in the millennial kingdom. Now, to close out lesson 6, we want to look at our last point here on our outline, is the personalities of the vision. The personalities of the vision. Let's read together in Zechariah chapter 4 and verses 11 through 14, which will close out Zechariah chapter 4. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the golden candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. As the golden candlesticks symbolizes Israel in full fellowship with God as a light bearer to the nations, so the two olive trees represent the two offices of the kingship and priesthood through which the blessing of God was to flow. From a historical standpoint, the two offices were filled by Joshua. Ecclesiastical chapter, in chapter 3 we see that, and Zerubbabel, civil, chapter 4. But the two offices of king and priest, as well as their official capacity, foreshadow the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his millennial role as both king and priest. Let's look at some cross references on this. First, let's turn to Psalms 110 with me. Psalm 110. And in Psalm 110, let's read down the first 7 verses. Psalm 110, 1 through 7. The Lord. And notice the Lord in the Word of God, the King James Bible, all the letters are capitalized, which is a reference to God the Father, said unto my Lord, capital L, and then the other letters are lowercase, referring to Jesus. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, and rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest. Here's the office of priest in this prophetic reference of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the days of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He will drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. And again, those verses there, 5, 6, and 7, we see him as a king ruling. And in verse 10, in verse 2 of Psalm 110, we read, Thou shalt send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. We see that the Lord is going to rule. So we see both offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. This again is a prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and how he will be given, fulfill the official capacity in the millennium as both king and priest. Also in Zechariah, if we go to chapter 6, verse 13, Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13, even he shall build a temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the counsel of his peace shall be between them both. So we see right here again in Zechariah 6, verse 13, a reference to Christ. Even the Lord, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. There's the office of king. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, the office of priest. Now, getting back to Zechariah chapter 4, we see the two witnesses, which I believe are going to be in the two witnesses of the tribulation are going to be Elijah and Moses. So the two witnesses of the tribulation are said to be here in Zechariah chapter 4. Verses 11 and 12, the two olive trees, amen, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And we see the reference to these two witnesses mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. If you turn there with me, Revelation chapter 11. As we go through the study of Zechariah, you see that this book is a very full of very prophetic book, amen. And how it complements Revelations and Daniel, amen. In Revelation chapter 11, we pick up in verse 3, and we read, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And of course we know when those were dressed in sackcloth was like a time of mourning, amen, for sin, amen. A lot of the prophets would dress up in sackcloth and pour ashes on themselves, amen, because of the sin of the people. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Again, here we have a reference to them, and Zechariah chapter 4 that we just read, we saw these two olive trees. And again, there were prophetic reference in Zechariah to the future two witnesses in the tribulation, amen. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And if we think about that for a moment, what prophet we remembered in the Old Testament that had anything to do with fire, amen, we think of naturally the prophet Elijah, where he called fire down from heaven when he had that great challenge with the prophets of Baal. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Again, we saw where Elijah, amen, was able to pray and cause it to not to rain, amen. And then we see, and have power over waters to turn them to blood. And of course we see this is one of the plagues of Moses in the book of Exodus that the Lord did against the Egyptians, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. Again, we see, again, the plagues connected with Moses in the book of Exodus. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. So we see the son of perdition, that's who it is, the Antichrist. And their dead body shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And of course, the city, what it's talking about, of course, is Jerusalem. But it's going to be like Sodom and Egypt. It's going to be so filled with sin and wickedness. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They're not going to bury them. They're just going to let the bodies of the two witnesses lie there in the street. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And I believe what's going to happen is, this whole scene is going to be, as it says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. This is going to make the cable network news, amen? Where people will be watching and will be happy that, and it says here, will rejoice over these two witnesses that preached doom and gloom and told them how wicked they were and they needed to get right with God, amen? And they did all these, sent all these great plagues and fire proceeded out of their mouth. They're going to be glad to get rid of these two witnesses. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And make merry. Like Merry Christmas, amen? They're going to be happy about it. And shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. They're going to be happy. It's going to be a great Christmas for them. Amen. They're going to make merry. They're going to say, hey, Merry Christmas. Send gifts to one another. Amen. Two witnesses that tormented us are now dead. But the Lord's not through yet. Amen. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. Praise the Lord. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. You can just imagine the scene. Amen. You have the two witnesses, their bodies are lying in the street. People are making merry and rejoicing and sending gifts to one another. And they think all is well. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God enters these two bodies, and they're resurrected, they come up upon their feet. You can just imagine the expression on people's faces. I imagine they'll just be in a state of shock that you could hear a pin drop. Amen. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Here we have a rapture. I believe this is a rapture just before the Lord returns, where not only the two witnesses go up, amen, but we also see probably the tribulation saints, those that have been martyred, that wouldn't take the mark of the beast, will go up here also. Because we also see that expression, come up hither, used over in Revelations chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And of course, this come up hither is a picture of the rapture of the body of Christ. The rapture, the catching away of all those who believed on Christ from the day of Pentecost up until just before the tribulation, the rapture there. And then we see in Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, in the same hour there a great earthquake. Was there a great earthquake? And the tenth of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affright and gave glory to the God of heaven. Amen. So we see then here the personalities of the vision. They are witnessing of him who is coming to take possession of the whole earth. And of course, we see the expression or the phrase, the Lord of the whole earth, is definitely a millennial term. Let's turn over to Micah. Micah with me. The prophet Micah. In Micah chapter number 4 and verse 13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Again, we see that phrase, the Lord of the whole earth. Again, in the context of this verse in Micah is a passage on the millennium. Okay, so that closes out lesson number 6. Lesson 6. And in lesson 6, we looked at 4 things discussed in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. We saw the presentation of the vision, we saw the purpose of the vision, and we saw the promises of the vision. And under the promises of the vision, we saw 4 things, or 4 promises. The temple will be completed by divine power. Every obstacle to the work shall be removed. The temple shall be successfully and joyfully completed. And God's wisdom and care will be magnified. And the last point, point number 4 that we just looked at, was the personalities of the vision. Okay, now we want to turn our attention and begin lesson number 7. Lesson number 7. Lesson number 7 is going to, we're going to look, cover chapter 5 of Zechariah in verses 1 through 4. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 5 right now. And read down together, follow along in your King James Bible. Zechariah 5, verses 1 through 4. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege unto us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Looking over in Micah, and I should be in Zechariah. Zechariah. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I apologize for that. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. At this point, the series of visions takes a sharp turn from that which heretofore has been comforting to a stern warning that the Lord is a holy God and cannot tolerate evil. If the people continue to sin, they shall be visited with severe punishments. This thought has an application to the immediate context, but also portrays the unsparing destruction of sinners during the tribulation, as well as the rigid judicial and governmental administration of the millennium itself. God has promised restoration to the nation Israel, but he must deal with unrepentant sinners before the period of blessing can dawn. Now, in lesson 7, we're going to look at two things. First, the vision, and then the meaning of the vision. So let's look at the vision. We see that the vision centers around a flying roll, which appears to be an instrument of judgment. Now, we're going to look by comparing scripture, it's easy to determine exactly what a roll is. We're going to look at some references, amen, as we compare the scripture. Let's turn, first of all, in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah with me, in chapter number 8, in verse 1, Isaiah 8:1, Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll, and write it with a man's pen. And then we see in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 36, in verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee, against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. Also, look at in Ezekiel, chapter number 2. Ezekiel with me, chapter number 2. Verses 9 and 10. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was there therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. Also, one more last place, Ezekiel 3. Ezekiel chapter number 3, verses 1 to 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So we can identify the role. The reference we look at tells us that all the references that we looked at tells us that the roll is what we would call a scroll or something to write on. The roll of Zechariah's vision was not wound up, but unrolled or spread open like a huge sheet. That roll was unwound and appears from the fact that it was inscribed on both sides, which could only be ascertained if it was were unrolled. Amen. And of course we see here, I believe, the scriptures. That's what it's referring to. Amen. The scriptures. Now, we want to look at, more importantly now, the meaning of the vision. The meaning of the vision. And we're going to cover four things under the meaning of the vision. First, we'll look at the curse. Second, we'll look at the reason for the curse. Thirdly, the instrument of the curse. And fourthly, and lastly, the result of the curse. Now let's look at the curse. Since the curse is one that encompasses the whole earth, it must be dispensationally placed in the tribulation. Look it with me in Malachi, which is the last prophet, the last book of the Old Testament, just before Matthew. Malachi chapter number 4, in verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Here's one of the witnesses mentioned that we just talked about a little while ago. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. But we see then that this, he's going to come, Elijah and the prophet, and come and preach to the whole earth. Amen. Daniel 9 deals with the curse. We see in Daniel chapter 9, if you turn there with me, the prophet Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse number 11, we read, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So Daniel 9 deals with a curse. It is poured out upon Israel because they have disobeyed God's commandments. And then the last part of the chapter of Daniel identifies the time as the 70 weeks. Amen. And of course we see that in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. We see 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And of course, what we're waiting, the next thing to happen is Daniel's, the last week of the 70 weeks of years, amen, which is the tribulation, which is a 7-year period. 69 weeks have already gone by, and We're waiting upon the last week, the 70th week, to begin, or the seven-year period of the tribulation. But thank God, the Christians, the believers, amen, the church, the body of Christ, will not be here to see the Lord's wrath poured out upon Israel and upon the earth. We're going to end here of lesson 7. We haven't finished it yet. We still have three other things we want to see about the meaning of the vision. And we'll do that next time when we pick up our study.